Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm your host, Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate Roundtable. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, a boutique firm that is home to over 30 real estate sales and marketing agents who service home buyers and home sellers throughout Boston, the South Shore, the South Coast, and Cape Cod. Our firm takes pride in assisting our clients in the next chapter of their lives by taking a holistic approach to their real estate endeavors. We believe that every move should be a moving experience. Every week, my co-host Melissa Wallace and I will provide you with my team's unique marketing approach to selling homes and share with you our expertise in navigating the home buying process. We value the experience of our agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so much that not only will you hear my perspective on real estate topics, occasionally you will hear the expert thoughts and opinions of our experienced agents at Boston Connect Real Estate. Be a part of our roundtable. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and wherever you like to listen to podcasts at Talk Real Estate Roundtable. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me and my team to discuss your real estate needs, you can connect with me at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate.
And hello to all our South Shore neighbors. You are listening to Talk Real Estate Roundtable. My name is Melissa Wallace, and I'm joined live and in studio by the one and only Sharon McNamara.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. You know what? It was one of those mornings where I just had to sleep in, apparently. Woke up at like 5:45. I was like, I got 15 more minutes.
Yeah.
And Mark woke me up at 7:20 and said, you better get out the door. So here I am.
Did you tell Mark you wanted to get up at 7?
No, he wasn't up. We both slept in late.
Oh,
so anyways.
Gosh.
But here we are. We're live in studio and you can be watching us. We are streaming everywhere this morning on YouTube and Facebook. And we're live in studio, which is most important, on WATD. And we have Tim in the house. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And I am so sorry. I owe Tim a big apology. I just want everybody to know that it is my job to let him know that I am here and on time, and I barely woke up this morning. So I am sorry, Tim. I love you. I'm sending you hugs. I am human. To err is human.
Yes, we all are. We all are human.
Yeah,
yes.
To err is human. I know. I didn't mean to frustrate you. I'm not frustrated.
Okay.
Yeah,
no,
I know that you're okay. I owe you an apology. You have not. It's nothing you did. It's me.
I just want a heads up. That's all I want.
I know. It's my bad.
I have plan B's and C's in house, but I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to pick the right letter.
Yeah, exactly. And so we have the best of the best. If you can't tell, I have a wonderful relationship with Tim McKinney, and he is the best of the best of the producers over there at WATD.
I love him truly.
And yeah, sorry that you're not here again this morning, Tim.
You got more of those donuts, don't you?
Oh, yes, we do.
Are you killing me?
I'm going to send you a picture.
Don't do it. Please.
Well, what I also heard is that they have espresso out there, and
I
wish I grabbed one of those. so I don't wait until you see these ones this morning. Oh, my gosh, they do a good job. Mel, you want, as I'm sending this picture over to Tim, do you want to I'll put it on Facebook, too. Do you want to tell everybody about Hardly Saints?
Yeah, so Hardly Saints Donuts, they've been here for the past few weeks on Friday and Saturday. Yesterday, they did the, I think, Touch a Truck. Was it in Norwalk?
I don't know where it was.
It was somewhere. But
it was with Samantha. I can't say her last name, but she's a wonderful,
wonderful
loan officer.
We had a couple people yesterday say, where's the donuts?
Yeah, I know.
We're like, well, they'll be here tomorrow. But they've been here Fridays and Saturdays. They are here right now. Hardly Saints Donuts, locally owned. They run it themselves. He is a veteran. I think she's an attorney. They're just selling these delicious donuts. You can pre-order dozens. I think the dozens might be sold out as of right now, but they have individual donuts and you can get half dozens. We have a half dozen right here. And they're just delicious. We'll post pictures on social media as well, so be sure to follow us. But
I'll do that as well.
They have donuts. They have coffee. They have
espresso. So if they're out there listening right now, I could use a shot of espresso. Thank you. I take it with a little sugar. That would be perfect.
Is that an orange cream donut in the box? I see a slice of lemon orange on top.
Orange
on
it must be. It must be. Oh, Tim, I have to get you some of these. Oh. I really do.
And then what was that? Cinnamon churro. Oh my gosh. And the chocolate. Oh, that chocolate one is chocolate frosted on top, and then there's a little chocolate chips.
Beads
too.
Or something. There's something on there.
The mini Hershey Kisses. Not the kisses, but ones you usually see on the chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah. Oh, like chocolate chips. They are so good. Mm. You know what, Tim? I have to bring these to you.
Oh, well, you don't have to. Really,
I don't. But I should.
My waistline really says, no, really, you don't have to. No.
Uh-huh. Okay, perfect.
But if you insist, I'm not going to stop you.
Hey, have you been to Alba yet?
No. We just... I know. We're so busy. Between this job and the other one, I work 7 days a week, and to go out after sometimes,
I know. That's how I feel. Same. I went out last night with, my brother-in-law, Michael. He'll be on the show. He has his show on after us today.
Yes, he does.
So for those of you who don't know, McNamara Financial has their show, which is where I got my start in stardom here, Radio Land.
yes, Radio Land.
Yeah. I'll go, Tim, so many years ago, do you remember? But he's going to be talking this morning about, Michael will be doing the show, and he is going to be talking about a yearly financial recap or something like that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But I remember the first time I did a show with him. So it had to have been 20 years ago. I was new in real estate, and he asked me to come on the show. I got all dressed up. I was up for
you got all dressed up for radio.
Mm-hmm. I got all dressed up for radio. I said, I have to feel the part. The part.
Absolutely. When you dress better, sometimes you perform better too in your job and whatever. So,
yeah. You know, it's like you're supposed to look in a mirror when you answer the phone and smile.
Oh,
never heard that. Yeah.
You never heard that?
No, mirror at my desk.
I'm going to put a mirror at your desk so you smile before you answer that phone call. But I do remember I was up all night and I had a 3-ring binder and I was like, I don't care what question he throws at me, I am going to have the answer. And then, do you know, my brother-in-law, he started giving me testing me on financial stuff. I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I have no money. What do I know about finances? And isn't that your job? So
isn't the money part your job?
Yeah, isn't that what you do? Also too. So any of our listeners today, we're going to be talking about contracts and contingencies. And if you want to call into the studio, certainly you can do that. 781-837-4900. Melissa and I, as I said, we are in studio. We are live this morning. We have hardly donuts outside, so you can grab yourself a donut. You can tour through the office, and you can see our studio as we are here live. But I thought I saw a rabbit. That's how you have to act.
Yeah.
Tim, you have to find that clip somewhere, because that's all I can think of every time I do that. But if you're afraid to talk on the radio, don't worry. We have another alternative for you. You can text Tim at the studio, 781-837-4900, the same number. One other quick thing I do want to discuss. I meant to discuss it last week. The Pembroke Police Department is running sort of a little bit of a fundraiser today. It's for this month. It's Autism Awareness Month. And the Pembroke Police Department, I'm going to hold these up. I know the radio people can't see me, but if you do get a chance to go on to Facebook or YouTube, Boston Connect TV, you can see these wonderful badges. They're look legit. So it looks like a police badge, and it's autism awareness in the middle. One of the police officers over at Pembroke Police Department did design this, and they're made into badges. They're $10 a piece. I bought 10 of them. The chief brought them over to me. So thank you to Chief Rick McDonald. He is wonderful, wonderful chief, wonderful, wonderful person. He brought 10 over so we could, donate a little bit to them too. I love doing these hyper local things. but I have four of them. So if you are interested in, you know, having one of these badges, again, just give us a call because we're going to give four of them away today. And it's for Pembroke Police Department, and it is Autism Awareness. They're $10 a piece. So if you don't get yours today, you can go over to the Pembroke Police Department and you can buy your own, or you can buy several. So there we go.
There you go.
I remembered. Thank you for putting those on my chair.
I think it was Julia. Yeah, right. Well, I can't take credit for it, but yeah. Mm. I mean, I love this design. Mm. Look how cute that is.
Yeah, again, it is so cute.
Holding it up.
So cute, yeah.
But yeah, so, okay, we got that part out of it. Now we're going to be moving on to our show.
Yes, we are, yes. And I also have my friends in Clubhouse land, so I bought new equipment, so I'm hoping that it will work. Megan, are you there? Yeah, do you want to? Yeah, do you want to? You want to discuss that a little bit and the importance of it? I didn't want to bring it up unless you wanted to.
No worries at all. No worries at all. I think it's always great. I think there's a really high level of awareness now. My personal take on it is now we need autism action. Right? We're in that next phase now. We really need to attack it.
Mm-hmm. So Megan Gardner is a friend of mine from Long Island, New York. And as she said, she is a mom. How do you say it? Because I never want to say the wrong thing.
No worries. I say I'm an autism mom, or I have a child with autism, although he's more of an adult now, 19.
Yeah. Well, and I think that those are the important years as well, right, Megan? So like as he's growing older and you're growing older, I think that the concerns probably even get higher, right?
Absolutely. I always thought when he was younger that as he grew, it would just kind of get easier. And it gets difficult, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, right, not so different from parents with neurotypical kids. We'll use that term. As our children grow, right, the challenges and the issues change, but they're still large in our hearts and like in our minds as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Like Sharon said, we never want to say anything that is, you know, not appropriate or anything like that, but we love having people on that sort of give another perspective or just educate us too. So we appreciate you sharing your little story there.
Yes, thank you. So that's Megan Gardner from Long Island, New York. So if you are thinking about moving to that area, just know that I have the best of the best in that area that I'm happy to refer you to. And Megan, do you want one of these? Because I can send you one.
You're the best. I would love one. Thank
All right.
You so much.
Perfect.
Thank you, Melissa.
Yes, I am going to send you one of these autism. And again, to our listeners, if this is something that is important to you and close to your heart, you can put one of these badges on one of your sweatshirts and keep it always close to your heart.
Yeah.
How do you like that? I should work in marketing.
You should.
I should. Maybe if this real estate gig doesn't work out for me, that's what I'll do. 781-837-4900. Don't worry, Melissa. I'll bring you with me always.
Okay. Like, I'm really hoping that this real estate thing works for you.
Yeah. 781-837-4900. So, again, I have three left because I just gave one away. So, but I'm happy to buy more if anybody really just truly does want these. Okay. So let's talk about what we're going to be discussing today. And, you know, the past few weeks, we have been talking about, you know, different things that have been going on with the NAR settlement. We're all, you know, sort of over it at this point and, you know, just waiting to see which way things are going to go. And, today, I just thought that we would just, you know, sort of, we kept it on buyers last week. What did we talk about last week?
Yeah,
like
we,
forever ago.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it's forever. But plus, we've been talking about it every day of our lives for the past 6 weeks. But yeah, no, we focused more on buyers last week when we discussed it. And we do have a question on Facebook about it, but I feel like maybe we should. Do we want to move forward with something else?
Well,
or
I really think we owe it to our listeners to answer the
question.
Well,
questions. It's Ginny.
Oh, okay.
So Ginny Wandell, here's a question regarding buyers who are just starting to look now. Please talk about the exclusive buyer's agency agreement. Now compensation typically comes from the seller agent sharing compensation. They might expect to pay up to a percentage directly to a buyer agent. Discuss alleviating fears through clear expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll get into that, Ginny.
We'll get into all that, Ginny.
So Ginny is a full-time real estate agent here at Boston Connect Real Estate. And, you know, the struggle is real. And I do, you know, Ginny, you know, had, I don't even want to call it a situation, but like, you know, it's there's so many moving parts of this whole real estate thing. And Ginny is great. And recently she has been able to get, you know, even though being up against multiple offers, she has been able to get her offers accepted. And, you know, it's, I'm glad that she's actually listening in, because one of the things I do want to talk about is, you know, contingencies and what are the contingencies when we're dealing with contracts. What are some of the contingencies that we, you know, recommend? Well, I don't know that I ever recommend any contingent. Well, yeah, there is one I can think of, but Ginny has several of them in her situation, right?
Yeah. So how I like to think of it is like we educate our clients on all the contingencies that you could possibly have, yeah. Which is a lot. And at the end of the day, it's their decision. So, you know, we can't say one way or the other, this is what's going to get it accepted. This is not what it's going to get accepted, because, again, we don't know what's going on in the seller's head. So, you know, we could present the best offer that we believe, and we can mm-hmm. ask the question, hey, what is it that your sellers are looking for? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, and we've said this before, like, not everybody's looking for a top dollar. Not everybody, like, some people want, you know, mm-hmm. an offer that doesn't have a home sale contingency, or mm-hmm. doesn't have a home inspection or a quick close or something, you know. But again, like anything else, you don't know the answer unless you ask the question. So ask the question to see what the seller is looking for. But when it comes to, you know, contingencies, at the end of the day, it's really what the buyer is comfortable offering.
Yeah.
And you should never, as a buyer, offer anything that you're not comfortable offering.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, and I'm glad that you said that, Mel, because I feel, you know, in this world of, you know, Google land, right? So if I read it on Google, or if I heard it on YouTube, or if I heard it on the streets, right? Heard it on the streets while you had your high heel spikes on, you know, down at the combat zone. I heard it on the streets. But, you know, that is not where you should be getting your information. And I hope that our listeners will appreciate, you know, sort of on purpose, how we have been running our shows for the past several weeks is, you know, letting people know about this NAR settlement. What does that mean to sellers? What does that mean to buyers? Last week, talking about the importance of, you know, compensating a buyer's agent and a buyer's agent compensating their agent. Like, we went through the pros and the cons and the perspective from each angle. And that's one of the things that I think is really important when we're doing this show is perspective. That's what conversations are, is hearing and trying to understand the other person's perspective. And for me, my whole entire career has really been about that. And I think that that's what makes me a really strong negotiator. Now, I don't go into any, like, can you imagine me going into a listing agreement saying, I am a strong negotiator, like, ugh, make me want to puke. But anyways, I don't do that.
I think you would say it more subtly, not like, I'm a strong negotiator. You'd be like, hey, you know, I am a strong negotiator.
Yeah, one of the things I say is I love to freaking negotiate. let me at the bat, because but you know what, though? I think what makes me a strong negotiator is that I do have a way of, or an understanding, and I really try is to see both perspectives, because I think that that puts you in a better place in your head, right? So again, at the end of the day, if I'm a listing agent or if I'm a buyer's agent, it isn't my decision either way. It's just sort of, I'm the conduit in between, you know, two people trying to bring them together. And when you have two agents that are working together, and that's where the thing is learning the word together. Ginny had a really good conversation with me last night. I called her. I was having dinner with, again, my brother-in-law, Michael, who's on after this show. And, you know, I had a good conversation with her about perspective and things like that. And she does a good job with that. Is that where I was going? Oh, in options and things. You know, yeah. She does such a great job of trying to understand where the other person is coming from. And she had a good conversation, and it's probably why she was able to get, you know, two houses under agreement for her clients, is that relationship that she has and has built. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I love is she was working with somebody. Am I boring you?
No, I'm tired. Sorry. You didn't have to call me out like that.
I know. I'm really hoping that the donut people hear me say I want an espresso. I mean, for, come on, you're in my driveway. Bring me an espresso. But one of the things that she was telling me is that she was talking with another agent. He owns his own company, and I remember him. I mean, we've been in the business for a very long time together. He is a wonderful, wonderful guy. I'll actually give him a shout out, Steve Egan. And he went out on his own. He's a builder as well. And he really is just a super guy. But she said one of the things that he mentioned to her was, you know, your offer was perfectly written, and it's just really nice to work with agents from Boston Connect Real Estate. So, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. those things matter, you know. So it is working in conjunction with those other agents that will help you with the whole negotiating process, right?
Yeah. You winded?
Yeah, I'm a little winded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, when it comes to contingencies, like I said, it's just giving all of the information that we have and letting the buyer ultimately make the decision, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they're the ones living in the house. They're the ones who have the financial, mm-hmm. you know, responsibility for it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we never want to not include something that they would definitely want to include. So I'm mm-hmm. referring to like a home inspection yeah. or any type of like pest inspection, lead paint inspection mm-hmm. or anything like that. But
yeah. And again, if you're out there and you are a buyer, and if you're a seller, I mean, don't look at your offers like, you know, the first one I'm going to take is the one without the home inspection. I mean, that isn't just the way to go, right? You have to look at an offer as a whole. But if you are, you know, a home buyer out there and somebody has given you advice. First of all, let me just state for the record, and as a full disclosure, I can't give you any advice, okay? Unless I am working with you, I can't give you any advice. These are just little tidbits of how I work, how Melissa works, how my team member Mary Horton works, and I would say for the majority of our office, how they work. But again, they're independent contractors. I can't even talk for them. Yeah. So if something I'm saying, you know, you have to, if I'm saying something that makes sense to you, that's when you have a discussion with your agent. Yeah. Like, hey, maybe you say, I heard this. How do you feel about it? What's your perspective on it? And I'm just going to tell you the right way to do it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, I'm really kidding. I don't know why. Saturday mornings, you make me giddy.
Oh, well, that's nice. Mm. I'm happy to do that. Just one little sort of PSA I want to put out there.
Yeah.
And this has happened a couple times in the past week and a half. My suggestion to people who may be watching the news or not fully understanding all of the NAR things and everything that's going on, mm-hmm. my suggestion probably wouldn't be to call an office or call just a random realtor or anything that you don't have any sort of relationship with professionally
or
personal.
Have we been getting calls?
Wanting to know what you charge and wanting to know, like, it's very, and I understand right now it's just not a conversation that we are just having very lightly. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a conversation that we're having with people.
Do you think it's testers?
Well, you know, I spoke with someone who was very persistent in wanting to know, you know, made it a point to say I've called 7 offices and no one will give me an answer. And I just sort of lightly said, you know, unfortunately, you're catching us at a time right now where, like, this is not a conversation that we're having just mm-hmm. with somebody that we don't have a
because there is no one
relationship.
Answer. That should be your answer. There is
and
no
I said,
one answer.
You know, we're independent contractors. Everybody is entitled to sort of run their business how they mm-hmm. wish and works for them. But I'm happy to connect you with one of our agents and see how they, you know, operate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it happened a couple times. So my suggestion would probably be to have more of a in-depth mm-hmm. conversation with maybe somebody who you have a relationship with.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing, too, is, you know, be careful if you do call an office and say, hey, I'm curious what you charge. If they just give you the answer, then that should be a red flag as well. So, you know, and I do feel as if, is this newspapers that are trying to call us? Is it somebody who's trying to trick us? I mean, Megan Gardner, again, from Long Island, New York, she probably knows it better than any of us. Because, Megan, what was that whole situation that you had down in Long Island? What was that called?
Hey, Sharon and Melissa, there was expose done by our local newspaper, Newsday. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Can you get a little closer to your mic?
Yeah, I'm kind of close up on my phone. Let me see if it's
okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, so sorry. An expose was done by our local newspaper, and it was over the course of 2+ years, and they sent testers out to work with different agents in different areas of Long Island, and then over the course of the 2 years, they put together, you know, what they thought was violations. They picked and patched and put together a narrative, and it was on Newsday, our local newspaper. It was all over the news, and it really just gave a crushing blow to the realtors on Long Island. It was tough.
Yeah, I think we actually watched like a video of it, right, Sharon? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a couple years ago, right?
Yes, it was a couple of years ago. Like, for instance, they would say, well, one person was given 10 properties to look at, and the other person was only given 7 properties to look at in the same area. But what they didn't disclose was it was a different time of year, and it actually was a different year. So the inventory.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Oh, I did. Yeah, that is interesting, because mm-hmm. I never even knew that it was a different time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, they don't, right? They don't really make, when it's a blip on the news or it's a quick article in the newspaper, they don't really give you the all that's there.
Yeah. So. It was more about having like a show, right?
Yeah.
So I know that Megan and we actually had a conversation. So Megan, again, is my friend from Long Island. She is a full-time real estate agent out there. And if you are thinking about moving to that area, certainly give me a call and I can connect you with her because I have her digits. but she's listening on Clubhouse. So I have a bunch of agents who are nationwide that are listening in with us today and joining us. And I know that this week there was a conversation, and Megan was very much on high alert about, all right, well, be careful if you say this, be careful if you say that. And, you know, sometimes when I'm on Clubhouse, I feel like I'm the downer in the room because I'm always thinking of things from a liability perspective. But I think that's why we're talking about contracts and contingencies today.
Yeah.
And with you getting those phone calls, it's interesting to me because I feel as if is somebody trying to stump us up just so they can, you know, they have something to complain about and then put it all over our Facebook pages. I have no idea. But everybody knows everything is negotiable. Okay. So let's just say that. Yeah. And that's sort of a bummer that like if it is somebody just sort of testing our agents. But I have such confidence in our agents that I know that they're not going to get stumped up. But that's just sort of, you know, ridiculous. And there is no one way to, you know, there's so many things. Like, you can't just call an office and say, what do you charge?
Yeah.
It's more like, oh, I remember there was somebody on Clubhouse. I don't know if it's anybody who's on stage right now. I recall somebody saying one time in a room that when somebody says, what do you charge? Their response was, well, what do you want to pay? Was that you, Anna?
That's my line.
All right, perfect. Can you talk a little bit about that, just since we're on this commission thing here? And again, this is Anna. Anna, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Anna Abadamarco. I'm here in Chester County, Pennsylvania. We're about 40 minutes west of Philly. And that has been my response pretty much since day one, 11 years in the business. Yet it's my personality to answer questions with questions, not because I'm deflecting, but because I want to know more about you and understand where you're coming from. So to me, you know, you're contracting me for a service. And if a contractor comes to my house and I ask how much is the kitchen remodel, well, what do you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your expectation? Are we just keeping the same floor plan? Are we changing the floor plan? Are you going to want high level this or whatever it may be? So to me, that question is a loaded question in that it depends on what you want to accomplish and what the job is. I need to see your house. I need to understand your expectations. So there's so much more that goes into it. So when someone asks me, what do you charge? I ask them, what would you like to pay? And mm-hmm. then start there, depending on really trying to figure out what are your expectations.
Yeah. Well, we had I think we talked about this the other day on the show. We had somebody offer a dollar.
Yeah.
A dollar.
Yeah. How insulting. This is what you're worth. But, I mean, that's what we're going to see. And it's, you know, now the DOJ is in it. And you know what? I'll be honest. I know Jasmine. We'll have to have Jasmine on. Maybe we can ask her to come in on Tuesday. because I know the DOJ, really their goal is to decouple the commission. You know what I mean? The buyer pays the buyer's agent, the seller pays the seller's agent. There's different type of
perspective.
There's different perspectives out there. You know, the buyer feels like, hey, I'm the one bringing the money. That means I'm the one paying. The seller's like, hey, this is the, you know, the sale price of my house, and what I do with my money after the fact has nothing to do with you. So, you know, hey, the jury is still out. We have until July. We know that, you know, now regardless is going to, you know, do something with these, you know, the conditions. They're going to proceed forward with that. And one of them is, you know, talking about the buyer agent contract. And we're going to be, you know, having our roundtable in our office as we do every Tuesday with all of our agents and talking about these, you know, conversations. It reminds me when I went to – when did you – this happened to you in grammar school. So I went to Catholic school. And we talked about that Tuesday because we talked about Dorchester. And sorry about that, Tim. I just cleared my throat. And we used to have – what is that? Current affairs. Current affairs. I remember that. I used to like that. I didn't like the spelling bees, though, you know.
Oh, current affairs, like you'd
yeah, like what's
learn?
In the news right now.
Oh, you'd learn about that at school?
Well, we had to come up with current affairs every Friday. We had to have a current affair and discuss it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I did not do that in school.
You didn't?
And I did not have spelling bees either.
Well, can I tell you about my spelling bee experience?
Sure.
We would line up on both sides of the room, and sometimes they would do boys versus girls. I didn't think that that was really fair, but whatever. You know, I just, you know, hey. But they could give me the word cat, and I would say K-A-T, just so I could get out. I couldn't stand the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just got the first one, and then Sister Helen Cushing would say, Sharon, I know you know how to spell cat. And I would say, no, I don't. It's K-A-T. I get to sit now. So I didn't want to be up there. I was nervous. Okay, let's get into it. It is now 8:38. We literally have 20 minutes to talk about our topic, so I'm sorry about that. 781-837-4900. That is the number to the studio at WATD, 781-837-4900. Please call in with your questions, or if you are too bashful to talk, you can also text Tim at the studio, and he'll get you the question. Melissa and I are live on YouTube and Facebook. You can find us at Boston Connect TV on YouTube. You can also find us on Pembroke Connect and all the Connect pages. You can find us Boston Connect Real Estate and all that to ask our questions. I was going to say something right there, but don't forget too. If you are interested, the Pembroke Police Department was selling, they're selling these badges for Pembroke Police Autism Awareness. So I have three of their badges that I purchased. If you don't have a chance to call in to win one of these, then we'll mail it out to you. But you can also go over to the Pembroke Police Department, and they are selling those for $10 a piece. I wish I had the officer's name that designed it, but I do not. I'm sure I could find it. All right, let's get into this a little bit. So we did talk a little bit. So some of the contingencies that you can do. So if we'll talk about a seller, for instance, this is sort of what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Do I put my house on the market and try to get it sold and then look for a house, or do I look for a house and then try to get my house sold? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad that you brought this part up first, because I have been seeing a lot of home sale contingencies, and home sale contingencies offered that are getting accepted too.
Mm.
So I thought that would interest you. you know, yes, we can ask the question, but in reality right now, everyone is very aware of they need a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've seen a lot of offers that are getting accepted by buyers who also have something to sell. So that is a home sale contingency. I'm putting in an offer on your house, but I just want to let you know that I do need to sell my house in order to purchase yours. I feel like that's pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened at one point where it was like so taboo to like accept an offer that had a home sale contingency. It's like a lot of people have a house to sell in order to buy another one,
mm-hmm.
you know. Although I will say that last year, so in 2023, the biggest buyer pool was first time home buyers.
Yep.
But, you know, I feel like most years,
mm-hmm.
somebody's got something to sell in order to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a time, maybe during COVID, even before COVID or after COVID, that, you know, it was, oh, we're going to move in with family, we're going to move in with friends, we're going to rent, and then, you know, we're going to sell our house and then move in with something else, somebody
mm-hmm.
else, and then go and look. But I really have been seeing, I mean, I see a lot of offers come through. I obviously talk with a lot of our agents. And there's been a lot of offers getting accepted with home sale contingencies. And I think it matters where you're at in that process. Mm-hmm. So,
oh yeah, that's a good point. Bring that up.
Yes.
Well, you did.
I did. It matters where you're at in that process. So, and I've seen it a little bit all over the place the past couple of weeks. But what I mean by that is you're a buyer. You go to put in an offer on a house. You have to sell your house. Where are you at with selling your house? So there's a couple different stages of that you can be in. You can, and I highly suggest this, if you are going to be looking at houses and putting in offers on houses, you should be ready to either, you know, press a button and your house is out there too. You're ready to go. So that means you have your professional photos done. Your agent is had everything in. All they have to do is press a button, do an open house, have showings, all those things. Wherever you're at, that should be sort of it is one of the ways. So another way is your house is already on the market. Maybe you have an accepted offer. That's great. So again, where are you at? Mm-hmm. Because it puts you in a different place with that home sale contingency too. Mm-hmm. So your agent can call, you know, the listing agent and say, hey, you know, I did put a home sale contingency in, but I want to let you know where we're at in the process, because mm-hmm. communication is key.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the biggest, you know, it's the biggest asset that we have as real estate agents, I believe, is that ability to communicate 100% with both sides. And to be honest, I know that Kristen Howlett, she's a full-time real estate agent here at Boston Connect, and she's here a lot with you. I did the show with her on Tuesday night, actually. And she's like, why does everything have to be so secretive?
You know,
like agents are like holding things like so tight to the chest and like it's just a big secret.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I think just having open dialogue and, you know, being fully transparent about what you're talking about and what's going on to try to bring two people together, I think is the best scenario. And it's interesting because I did put an offer in on a property this past week for one of my clients and that's all I have to say.
But no, I think I, like I said, I don't know at what point it became like this big thing where, you know, home sale contingencies were bad, because like a lot of people have to sell their house in order to buy another one.
Yeah.
And it does really matter where you're at in the process. So mm-hmm. you just pick up the phone or you see somebody in person and say, hey, you know, we have a signed PNS where it's quick close.
That's the key right there, though, Mel. I got to tell you that what you just said is just pick up the phone. And that's a problem. And I'm not going to say with your generation, because I love your generation. I really, truly do. But I remember when Mary started working with me, I would say, now she started as my assistant, right? So that was how many years ago? She was 21. She's what, 30?
She's 34.
34 now.
34.
So she's been with me quite a long time. And I'd be like, oh, did you call that person? And she's like, yep. And then, well, what I found out was call to her meant text, right? Uh-huh. So I think it's really important to pick up the phone, let the other agent hear your voice and like let them in, explain to them, hey, this is the situation. I'll let you know when this all came into place about, you know, not allowing home sale contingencies is as the inventory was getting lower and lower in our area, it was getting more and more difficult to sell to get your offer accepted. Mm-hmm. So that's when remember, I've been using the word for 3 years now, the market is reckless. People are making decisions that we wouldn't recommend. And we'll get into one of those in a little bit. And that was when people were like, all right, and again, perspective, I can't blame a seller either, right? So I'll be honest, if I'm a listing agent and I have all these other offers and there's one that doesn't have a home sale contingency, you know, here's the thing. As an agent, I'm putting my trust in another agent to sell somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I have a lot of, you know, confidence in myself as an agent and a lot of confidence in our agents. And there are a lot of agents in our area, by the way. I have a lot of confidence in them.
Yeah.
So when I see that they're the ones bringing me the offer, I can always say to my client, hey, I just want to let you know, like, this is a really good agent. I know that things will be done professionally and, you know, promptly. I don't think that we have a concern. We really don't have a concern so much anymore. That's what's so funny now is we're seeing less home sale contingencies mm-hmm. at the time where it's the easiest time to sell a house.
Yeah.
But I do think that part of the problem that we have, to be honest, with our very low inventory is because of this chicken or the egg thing. And it's, you know, so many sellers are saying, well, where am I going to go?
Yeah.
So that's why the ketchup is like stuck in the bottle, because everybody's like, well, I'm not going to put my house on the market until I know that I have someplace to go. That's why we have to get into, let's just be straight about it. Things are not going to change with new construction. I was talking this past weekend, on Wednesday, I talk with my developers. Every Wednesday we have a big meeting. There's like 10 of us on this call. And he was talking about the price of curbing mm-hmm. alone has mm-hmm. like doubled in yeah. the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Right. So like that's why it's just too expensive for builders to build homes that everyone's like, well, why don't they just build a small little ranch? Why don't they build a small little cape? Because they can't. Listen, we'll do something on new construction, but they can't afford to do it because of the cost of building anything right now.
And nobody would be able to buy it. Nobody could afford to buy it if they have to spend that much money
on a small little ranch.
Sorry, I cut you off. But,
that's okay. I do it to you all the time.
Do you want to finish that thought? Because I have something in my head.
Yeah, okay. You better write it down. That's what I do here.
Okay.
So until we get into a position where people are like comfortable with, okay, I know that they have a home sale contingency. And here's the thing with contingencies. And, you know, we're an attorney state. And for those of you who don't know the difference, because you're listening to me in Massachusetts, a lot of my friends here on Clubhouse, they are not attorney states. They are a title state. So things are a little bit different for them than it is for us. But we have attorneys who are reviewing and drafting all of these documents for us. And you're protected if you say, hey, I'm going to put my house on the market. It's contingent upon me finding suitable housing. I think it's okay to put an offer in on a property and say, hey, it's contingent upon me selling my property. Until we get to a point where people think that that's okay and they're willing to wait, we have this need for instant gratification right now mm-hmm. where it's like, all right, I have to buy a house and I want it so in 30 days I'm moving into my new house. We have to just slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Slow down. You move too fast.
Well, another perspective I have on that is the hardest part about it is getting an offer accepted. So mm-hmm. because you're up against so many other people. I mean, how many buyers are putting in multiple offers over months or years, mm-hmm. unfortunately. That's just being real, you know, and not getting it accepted and then finally getting accepted. They've done the hard part. They got an offer accepted. So if they have a home sale contingency, you know, I would not, as a seller, I don't think that I would be nervous about that, because I just sold my house, or I just put my house on the market and I got 10 offers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's not a true story. You're acting like you're a seller. You did not just put your house on the market.
No, I did not just put, I'm acting like a seller.
Okay.
you know, I think that the stigma with mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. is, you know, not really. I don't really agree with it, again, because if the hardest part is getting your offer accepted, the easy part is, you know, putting your house on the market. Mm-hmm. So to get those offers coming in, if it's priced according to the condition that it's in.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's having faith in the other agent, and making sure that, you know, the sale of it, the whole thing goes through. But, as a seller, I mean, if you have a...
What are you trying to say here?
Okay, fine. Just go.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm
no.
waiting. If just, as a seller, you have the patience to
so,
wait.
So as a seller, I don't know. So the two perspectives. So you're a seller. You want to put your house on the market, but you feel as though, you know, you need a suitable housing contingency. So now you're out looking for a house. As a buyer, you know how hard it was for you to get an accepted offer. Mm-hmm. Are you going to put an offer in on a house that has a suitable housing? But on the other hand, if you are a seller and you get an accepted offer with a home sale contingency, you can just turn around and put your house on the market,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my point.
Okay. Well, it was a good point. Point okay. taken. But, and I think, like I said, is I think you have to have confidence in knowing. I mean, honestly, usually speaking, if somebody has a home sale contingency, usually their sale price is a little bit higher because they are recognizing that, you know, my hairy leg syndrome. So they're, you know, they're like, all right, I'm not going to wear a miniskirt with my hairy legs. I'm going to put a gown over it. And the gown is, I'm going to give you more money. Like, hey, I understand that I have a little bit of a thorn on the side of my rose here, but I'm going to give you a very, very good offer. And I'm hoping that you will understand that I just need some time to get my property sold, to, you know, get it. And this is where it comes up to, Mel, is when you were saying, you know, it's important for, it's important to recognize, you know, everything that you're looking at and where the person is coming from. And for you as a seller, if you're thinking about purchasing at the same time and you don't have the ability to buy a house first and then sell your house afterwards, then perhaps you should be looking at, you know, have your house ready, have the photos taken, have your contract signed already, you know, your listing mm-hmm. agreement, and, you know, be ready to push the button and say, hey, if you say, hey, I'm not really comfortable with this whole home sale. And, you know, some people are like, hey, I don't want to put a buyer in a situation where they're coming to my house, they're falling in love with my house, and I just literally cannot find anything.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't want to do it. But you should be ready to have that on, you know, to push the button and to be live in MLS. So it's going to put you in a better position when you are buying a house, for sure. So I think being ready is good. And like you said, I think it's every stage of the way is a little bit better. Hey, we have an accepted offer. Hey, we have a signed purchase and sales agreement. Hey, we have this. And too, if you have multiple offers, believe me, you know, take the opportunity. You know who's really good at this is Donna Bagney. She's a full-time real estate agent here at Boston Connect Real Estate. And I started with her 21 years ago. And she has gotten so many offers accepted that were backup offers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she has like a little voodoo doll that's shaped like a house at her in her house, and she pushes pins in it, so the first offer falls apart, and then her offer gets accepted. We should create those. Why don't we create those?
I don't know. I don't know if we want to get into the voodoo business.
Well, it's not voodoo, but I think it would be a fun little de-stressor. It's better than a stress ball. I'm gonna make some of those. Okay.
Maybe just around Halloween.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of weird.
A little crochet house.
Yeah. Well, why, people yeah. in New Orleans can get away with doing the voodoo doll all year round. Why can't I?
Yeah, okay. All right. All right. Sure.
Okay. I got witchcraft. All right. So the home sale contingency, I think we've discussed that a lot. I want to get into the buyers and the one that's the big one for us is, you know, the home sale, not the home sale, the home inspection. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk a little bit about that from a buyer perspective?
from a buyer's perspective, I mean, first time home buyers, I know when the first house that I had under agreement, I did want a home inspection, mostly for educational purposes. I've never owned a house before. Obviously, I was a first time home buyer at the time. And, you know, I never really lived in a house. So I don't know where the water shut off. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. how to own a house. So I used it more as like an educational thing. I didn't necessarily believe that there were, a lot that there was a lot wrong with the house, but the home inspection did reveal that there was. So mm-hmm. I was grateful, and I ended up walking away because of the things that came up, and we just couldn't negotiate you know, after the fact. So mm-hmm. It's a two factor. I would have moved forward had we been able to negotiate something.
Are you glad now?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. my house is so much better.
I know. I told you it wasn't
and it's
to
like
be.
Twice the size.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I'm happy with that. But you know, with my house now, I did not do a home inspection. You know, I was up against 24 offers, and I didn't necessarily feel pressured to not have a home inspection, but I chose to waive mine because Mark McNamara, who owns McNamara Plumbing, has mm-hmm. done work there. Sharon McNamara, who's the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, was the listing agent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were multiple agents that went through that house. There were, you know, just I felt comfortable enough where I could just pick up the phone and Sharon can drive less than a mile to my house and mm-hmm. be like, hey, like, you know, if there was anything wrong or anything that came up.
Like last weekend?
Like, oh, yes, I did call McNamara Plumbing because I did have a clog in my house and my washing machine decided to spill on the floor. But you know, it's those things that, you know, I felt comfortable because I know enough people in my life that could sort of show up when I needed them. And Mark McNamara did.
Yeah. And I think that that's the disadvantage that a lot of buyers have is that, you know, they're not willing to waive their home inspection. And I'll tell you, we do not recommend that anybody waives their home inspection. We just think that it is important for all the things that you said to Melissa is, you know, knowing where the shutoffs are, knowing how the mechanicals work, just knowing the house, and things come up that are hidden that we don't know as listing agents. I've never lived in these houses, so I only know as much as the seller is telling me.
Well, that's the other part too. So like my first house, the seller had done a lot of work himself, which I wasn't comfortable with. With my house, you know, they had built it in 1964 and maintained it this whole time. One owner, I was comfortable with that. It was just a totally different situation. And I felt like that my home now was maintained better than the first house that I had under agreement. So I felt comfortable waiving it. Again, it was my decision. You know, nobody was telling me. But at the end of the day, the seller did decide to, you know, first eliminate people who didn't have a home or did have a home inspection because they just wanted to sell it, you know. So so that worked in my advantage. So
And that's another thing, too, is if you are putting in contingencies, your house was a really good example of this where we had, what, 24 offers total. And some people were cash. Some people were like skyrocketed over the list price. And, you know, when I went back and just said, all right, well, we have 24 total offers. Like if you have any adjustments or changes or, you know, your highest and best. I mean, I was talking to agents throughout that whole entire process. Come back to me and let me know. And then ultimately, your offer was accepted. It had nothing to do with me being the listing agent. I just want everyone to know that it was Melissa. You know, she put it in her best. And, you know, I do feel as if maybe because you were over there taking pictures that maybe the homeowner potentially she fell in love with you. But like, hey, that's up to her. She can choose whoever she wants to. But, you know, we went through all the offers and I was very clear. I mean, I wouldn't let you wouldn't look at any of the offers. We had multiple agents in our office that had offers in on this. So I did all of the spreadsheet. I did all of it. And I didn't want a decision being based on that. I wanted a decision based on what was best for my client at the end of the day. And I was the listing agent. And, you know, for her, this your offer was the best offer. But I do recall agents calling me back. Yeah, but my offer was cash. It doesn't matter. You wanted a home inspection. They chose someone without one. I don't know what else to say to you. Well, if you had come back to me and told me to waive that, I would have. Well, shame on you. You should have done that. I said to come up with your highest and best. I don't know. Like, I can't tell you what the other offers are.
Why would anybody come back to you and say, hey, if you waive your home inspection, you got it?
Yeah.
And I would never want that liability.
No, of course not. And the other thing was there was another agent who said, you know, hers didn't get accepted because she put in, her offer was astronomical over the list price. And but she also put in there home to appraise at or above sale price. Well, I know it's not going to appraise. I know the comps and I'm telling you it's not going to appraise. So that's why her offer didn't get accepted and she was upset. So, all right. Well, everybody, if you didn't get a chance to get donuts today, go out to Hardly Saints. It's at our office here at 19 Mattakesus Street in Pembroke. And if you missed any of our past shows, you can find us on YouTube at our Boston Connect TV or our podcast, Talk Real Estate Roundtable. You can also go to talkrealestateroundtable.com. And, of course, Boston Connect .com. You can find us. My phone number is 781-294-4848. If you're thinking about buying or selling a house, give me a call. My team is happy to help you. And listen, next McNamara on Money will be up with Michael McNamara. And we'll see you Tuesday.
We'll see you Tuesday.
Bye, Tim. Have a great day.
Bye, YouTube.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Facebook. Bye, YouTube. Bye, Clubhouse.
Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together.